It's therapy time on Wake Up. We all need to work out our issues.
The simplest way to put it, I have problems.
Because we're all a little crazy.
I worry about diseases. When I want to go out, I get weird.
So let's work through it together.
Why don't I start?
On Wake Up with Taylor.
Okay, so we were just talking, well, in the news today, Thomas, okay? Suri Cruz hasn't seen her dad in 3 years. That's insane. Tom Cruise is her dad, in case you don't know who Suri Cruise is. And also, we were just talking about Ryan Lochte, the American Olympic swimmer, gold medalist, who lied about being robbed at gunpoint. So we've got some screwed up kids and some screwed up situations here. So let's take Ryan Lochte, for example. Okay, we'll get to Suri in just a little bit.
Sure.
But how does somebody become such a liar? I mean, is it all the parents' fault when somebody is such a disaster?
You know, I believe that childhood messages impact every part of our lives.
Wow.
To the intimacy we're going to have or not have.
Yes.
To our parenting skills, the careers we choose. Now, if somebody is lying as an adult, that means as a kid, the consequences for telling the truth weren't worth it. It was better to lie. The punishment might have been too tough.
Really?
You know, yeah. Well, you know, we all make mistakes as kids.
Yes.
Now, what's the message that we get when we make a mistake from our parents?
You're a bad, bad girl.
You deserve to be punished?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or is the message, you made a mistake, it's an opportunity to learn, let's mm-hmm. talk about it. What could you do differently?
No. Yeah. I literally learned that when I got in therapy, is like, mistakes are good because you learn from them and just move on.
Oh, I got, yeah, I did, yeah, when I was being raised, and my parents, I love my parents. They're great parents, but I definitely, there was an expectation of me to be kind of perfect a bit, you know, a good girl. My dad was a doctor in town. It was like, your dad's a doctor, behave yourself, don't embarrass him. It's a small town. And so I definitely felt like when I made mistakes, like I remember this one time we were supposed to be playing touch football at recess. It was like third grade.
Yeah.
And the boys and girls would play together. And my boyfriend at the time, Doug, had on like a Lacoste t-shirt, like what you're wearing, like a polo shirt. And we were playing more rough than touch. And my friend and I grabbed his shirt and we ripped his sleeve clear off his shoulder, and he started crying like the little wuss he was. And then I had to go to the principal's office, and my mom was so mad at me.
Yeah.
She was very, very upset with me. And now when I look back, I'm like, that isn't that big of a deal.
No, of course, but it seems like death.
If I thought I was going to die.
Yeah.
Yes,
oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, principal's office, and I ripped someone, and I was so mad at him that he told. What a little bitch.
But that does make sense. If you're taught to that, if avoiding the truth as a kid has benefits,
then?
Huge benefits, then you're going to lie.
And listen,
forever.
You know, I tell parents all the time, I'm not talking about being your kid's best friend now.
Okay.
Right.
I'm talking about giving healthy consequences. How do we give healthy consequences? Simply like this.
Uh-huh.
You don't clean your room, you don't get your allowance. You chose not to clean your room, not me.
Right.
You don't put your toys away, you can't play with your toys the next day. You chose not to put your toys away. But if I'm giving
you
consequences
choice.
With anger and rage,
mm-hmm.
I'm not giving that message. I'm giving the message, you're a bad kid, you deserve to be punished. And a lot of kids and people grow up with a message that if I fail in life, I am a failure. They identify themselves as a failure.
Yeah.
That's very destructive. And we're talking about the swimmer that didn't tell the truth. Well, you know, again, as a kid, maybe telling the truth wasn't worth it.
I know
now,
some people like
it.
That.
If I'm going to get hit and beat, or yelled at or screamed at for telling the truth, I'm going to learn to lie. That's going to be part of my repertoire as an adult.
Well, you know what's also crazy, Thomas, is that actually Ryan Lochte, when the first person he told a lie to was his mother. The reason the story even came out was because his mother went to Fox News and she told when she was in an interview and she told him about him being held at gunpoint. So I don't even know if this lie was ever supposed to make it outside of a small group of people. He actually made up the lie for his mother.
Listen. The most important thing parents can do is set up a safe place for their children to share their feelings, whatever those feelings are.
Uh-huh.
Remember, feelings are not right and wrong. They're not true and false.
They're not
facts. Feelings. And if I validate, I could disagree with my son coming to me and telling me I'm scared or I'm feeling this way. I could disagree, but I need to validate that his feelings matter.
And understand.
If a child doesn't have a safe place at home to share their struggles, they're going to solicit that information from the wrong people. Who wants that?
Right. Now, here's a question, though. Like, let's say, like, because kids get in trouble, especially, let's say, middle school, high school, right? They start experimenting. It's like this rebellious juice inside of us. So, like, what do you do when your kid, like, let's say they smoke some pot or they drink underage? What do you do then as a parent?
My son came to me in eighth grade and said, Dad, my friends smoke weed. I'm really curious about smoking weed.
He said it like that?
Just like that.
I love you guys.
I made a safe place for him to talk to.
Right.
Now, I'm a recovering addict.
Okay.
I wanted to say, go in your room for 3 years.
And never come out.
I'll let you out when you're about 22 years old. That's what I wanted to say.
Right.
But instead, I said to him, what do you know about weed? Be curious with your children.
Yes.
What do you know about weed? Let's go find out. Let's go on a computer. Let's do some research. And I told him consequences too.
Right.
If you choose to break the law, you choose to go to jail. You made that choice,
right,
not me.
Right.
Make a long story short, he came to me a few weeks later and he said, you know, Dad, I don't hang out with those kids no more. Now, the moral of the whole story is we can't control our kids' behaviors because when they get old enough, they're going to do whatever they want to do.
Exactly.
What we want to do is supply them with the tools to control their own behavior, where they make healthy decisions on their own. Dad doesn't have to lock them in his room for 3 years.
Right.
Right.
So that's the key to me, is to create that safe place for your kids. It's so important. And I don't think that the mother of the swimmer, Lockie, I always say that name. I got it
you
right.
You got it right.
There you go.
There you go.
I don't think she created that, or he would have said, you know, Mom, I made a mistake. This is what I did.
Right.
Yeah.
So I vandalized the bathroom because I'm a drunk buffoon, is what he should have said.
Yeah, that, Mom, I screwed up.
Yep.
Screwed up. I got to take the consequences
but
now.
So when you say something like, Mom, I vandalized the bathroom because I was drunk, I screwed up, what is that? What's a safe response to that? Because I can put myself in a parent's shoes going, why are you being an idiot? Like getting mad at them. How do you control your reaction?
That's the key. You just hit it. Don't react.
Oh.
See, and that takes practice, because I was the biggest reactor in the world. My wife used to always haul me in, you're yelling. Oh, got it. You know, don't react. Offer your children options. Well, listen, since you did this, here's the consequence for this.
Right.
Also, what could you do differently the next time if they're young enough? Let them use their own brain. Let them get out of their own messes.
Yes, you don't tell them what to do. You make them figure out what to do.
Oh, that's good.
That's so good.
I see a lot of parents rushing in every time their kid gets in trouble.
Yes.
And a child doesn't know how to develop their own coping mechanism.
Yes.
They get older and they don't know how to deal with life. And guess what? To all the parents out there, they're going to get mad at you, the parent that always rushed in and got them out of their messes.
It's true.
Let them develop coping mechanisms.
You know, my mom used to always say to me, Taylor, why don't you I tell you, like, I give you good answers. I've lived life. Why don't you just listen to me? Why do you always have to figure it out for yourself?
Oh, my God.
But right? But it's like, well, now I'm like, good for me. Because I was stubborn enough to be like, but I do have to figure it out for myself.
Excellent.
I have to go through it. So
excellent.
I have a learning experience, and I know that that's what it is.
I had a moment where when I first got in therapy, I was like really confused about buying a mattress. Like, I couldn't decide on it. And I was like, and I was on at the store, and I was telling my therapist, I was like, and I'm on the phone with my mom trying, and she goes, why is your mom participating in you buying a mattress? And I go, because I call her about everything. She's like, is she sleeping in your bed? And I'm like, no. But, and I'm like, why do I do that? So making my own decisions was something I had to learn later in life.
Me too.
I was very dependent. And I think coping mechanisms, soothing mechanisms, not having my feelings heard, I would turn to destructive things to deal with my feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And having to rewire that whole thing is a huge part of my life now.
Yeah. And that's what codependency is. We're looking for permission from our parents.
Yes.
We want
yes.
them to... We want to feel good. We're making them happy first.
Right.
And in childhood, all of us come from our messages in childhood. And what happens is when the parents at the top are nurturing each other emotionally, spiritually, when they're doing okay, a kid just has to be a kid. That's
right.
all they got to be.
Yeah.
Right.
But if they're sensing there's a problem up there, that's how roles form. That's how all of a sudden we have people pleasers, those that say yes all the time because they can't say no, or
right.
caretakers.
That's
right.
me.
Or that's where roles come from, because they're sensing something's wrong up there. I better fix this situation or I'm not going to survive.
Right.
It becomes a codependency technique.
Yeah, I just realized yesterday, by the way, on the show, live, on the air, that I was so codependent with my mom. I never even thought of it. But yeah, I mean, she's like my best friend and I adore her. But we used to talk when I was in a bad marriage. And I mean, it was bad from like the second I said I do until the second I said goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
And I would call her every single day, not joking. And like we would talk for 3 hours a day.
Wow.
That is not healthy.
No.
And so now, post, you know, my divorce and my now new life, we talk less on the phone, and it's hard for both of us because we're so used to each other. But I said to her, Mom, this is good. Like, we used to be exclusive in my family. It was like my mom and me, and we're best friends. Everybody leave us alone. And that's like not fair to my sister.
No,
or
that's
my brother,
always a
or my
red
dad.
Flag.
Yes.
When someone's like, my mom's my best friend.
Well, you see, what happens too is sometimes certain kids come up and become parentified, and they're feeding in to the parent that's not being nurtured.
Yes.
So they're trying to make the parent happy, and they're not supposed to do that. They're supposed to be a kid. They're not supposed to be nurturing their mom or their dad because the other one isn't doing what they're supposed to do.
And I always say that when my friends, when their parents are being destructive and my friends are constantly supporting them and trying to get them through it, even though they have no... they're not helping themselves. I always say, and they go, but they're my parents. And I like, and they go, and they helped me through this hard time. And I go, because they're your parents. They should have.
Right.
But you are not their parent.
Right.
You nailed it. And one of the problems I have with the groups I run, the clients I have, is the message that a good child should never get mad at their parents.
Yeah, no,
and
we're...
You know what? That's not true.
No.
But many people carry that message and it's hurting their lives.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like, I'm like you, Nikki, I feel like I couldn't make a decision to save my life until I would say about a year ago.
It's very common with my friend. Like, I feel like a lot of people have that problem of decision making where I'll go out to eat with a friend and they'll be like, will you just choose for me? I'm like... do you want me to cut it up for you too? Yeah.
Hold on, let me call mom. Right.
Yeah, it really is about that. It's nuts.
And there's a lot of people, like Nikki, you said you call your mom from the mattress store. I used to call my mom for everything, for validation on everything.
Oh, I don't call her for anything now.
And yeah, I don't either. And like, I know it's a hard transition, but like, I have to keep, like, I'm like, mom, I love you so much. And this is better for us. And like, you don't have to parent me anymore. Isn't that a relief? Aren't you happy that you don't have that burden? You know, I mean, she can go on to the next part of her life and don't have to worry about me all the time. Because that... I can't imagine. I've also heard parents say, you're only as happy. Tell me what you think about this. You're only as happy as your most miserable child. That makes me never want to be a parent. That statement right there. What is that?
Well, you have to separate that. You know, the most important relationship everybody in here has is not the one with their parents or their children. Mm-hmm. It's the one you have with yourself.
Yes.
And if you're good with yourself, if you're comfortable in your own skin, everything else is going to work out
a heck of
a lot better.
Yes.
But if I'm not happy with me, other people are going to pay that bill. And that's really what happens.
It's true. But what do you think about parenting and worrying? Do you think that parents say, well, I can't help it. I'm a parent. Parents worry. Do you worry?
Sure, I worry, but I don't want to put fear in my kid's diaper that's going to make it that kid is going to be afraid of the world or worry about everything. Mm-hmm. How do you reach your potential if your mom is like shaking all the time saying, don't do this, don't do that, don't worry, stay close to the house, don't go too far. You know, there's a lot of bad people out there. Mm-hmm. It's hard to then reach your potential because you're going to be too afraid to try things at that point.
Yes.
And if you don't try things, if you're not afraid to fail, you have to fail. It's part of life.
You have to.
All of us do.
Fall on your face.
And if you're afraid to fail, you're not going to succeed. If that's your messaging.
I mean, divorce is failure. Period. End of story. And it was the most growing, educational, empowering thing I've ever gone through.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
My first word as a child was dangerous because my mom would tell me things were dangerous, and so I would just be dangerous, danger. Like that was my first like multisyllabic word. I would just point things out, and it was a way of babysitting because she didn't want to really keep an eye on me as much as she needed to probably, and so she would just tell me if you go out there, you'll die. Like, she would literally say things like that. And so then my dad would be like, let's go down and play at the river, because I lived on a river. And I'd be like, no, I'll die. Like, he didn't know she was telling me these things. So I was screaming and crying, like, don't drag me down there.
And that's why you're asking permission. Think about it. If you don't ask permission for your mom, you're going to die. And that's the time traveling process. That's where, if I don't get the right mattress, I'm going to die.
Yes.
You're not going to die.
No.
But the message is, if I don't get the approval, I'm going to die.
Yes.
And that's why you need that approval.
Yep.
That's the messages early on in childhood.
Thomas, you're fabulous. I am obsessed with you.
Yeah, it's great.
You guys, you can get, what can people do in terms of services with you?
They can reach me on my website, theproblemwasme.com. That's the name of my first book, and my wife loved that title, by the way. She said, you nailed it. So that's my first book, and my new book is Don't Put Your Crap in Your Kid's Diaper, because the cleanup course is going to last a lifetime.
So. I love it. It's great. Awesome. You're amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Can you move in with me and talk to me all the time?
Will you be my mommy?